So anytime we talk about electricity, so electricity is a somewhat ambiguous thing. When electricity came out, there was much discussion as to what it is. I mean, there was even discussion about whether it is whether it's an Isser D'oraisa, whether it's an Isser D'rabbanan, whether it's biblical, whether it's rabbinic, whether what the status is of electricity when there's a light that turns on, electricity when there's no light that turns on. There's perhaps a big distinction between the two, whether one is biblical or one is rabbinic. So again, whenever these kinds of new things come up, so halacha is dealing with it. I mean, there's some kind of halacha to deal with it. Sometimes it's a little bit ambiguous about how halacha deals with it. I mean, what category does it fall into? So electricity is an example of that. So what category is it? And depending on what possibilities are there, are the malachos that would be involved with turning on a light bulb, not with other malachos, but in terms of turning on a light bulb, what malachos could possibly be involved? Any thoughts around the table? Yeah,
kindling a fire.
Well, kindling a fire is the obvious one.
And completing a circuit.
Right, completing a circuit is another possibility.
So that's like framing something.
Right, completing a makav patish, the malacha of makav patish. That wouldn't, incidentally, wouldn't be just a light bulb related malacha. That would be all electricity is working based on a circuit. But what would be another possibility, perhaps? So another possibility might be bishul, might be the malacha of bishul, that you're actually cooking whatever it is, the filament that's burning up. So the Rambam writes. So what does the Rambam write? The Rambam writes in source number 1, V'chein hamadlik es hanir o es ha'itzim, bein lehischamim bein lehair arei zechayev. Right? If you light a candle or fire, whether to warm yourself up or whether to light up the room, arei zechayev, you are chayev. Hamechamim es ha'barzel, if one heats up barzel, if one heats up a metal, kedei letzarfo b'mayim, what he's doing in order to make it hard, it sounds like, in water. Hareza told us mavir v'chayim. So what's it? That is a tolda of mavir. That's an extension of mavir, and you are obligated. That is an isser d'oraisa, biblical prohibition as well. So what?
Like
squirting
something?
Yeah, so Rambam is very unclear what he's talking about here. There are Gemaras that talk about taking a metal thing in order to complete its process, so you throw it into cold water and that will strengthen it. The problem is that is very difficult to understand why that would be mavir. I mean, that sounds very much like makav patish. That sounds very much like you're completing something, right? You're completing making that bar, right? So what is this idea of why is mavir connected to it? So mavir is lighting a fire. I'm sorry. And in theory, for our purposes, we want it to be mavir. For the positive, in terms of the positive commandments of Shabbos, right? We want it to be mavir. Why do we want it to be mavir? Why do we want it to be kindling? Because all of these mitzvot that we're about to talk about, right, are all talking about fires, right? So we want it to be considered mavir. Right, so if we could define how it fits into being a malacha, if we could define what it is, we don't really know what it is. Electricity is, what is it? How does halacha treat it? So halacha, we know halacha treats lighting a match, turning on a match. Right? A match is mavir, right? It's turning on fire. So is turning on a light the same thing? So we're not really sure. What is this Rambam saying? Some explain this Rambam as saying the Shar HaTzion, which is the footnotes to the Mishnah Berurah. So he quotes this idea and quotes the Rambam and says Hareza told us Mavir and explains that Tarti Isnehu Demitchila Kishenasa Habarzel Rach Chay Mishum Mavashel, that originally when you make the metal hard, then you are cooking it, right? You're cooking
soft,
the metal
soft.
Sorry, soft. When you're softening, you're making it mavashal. But achar ze kishenase gacheles boeres, when it begins to glow, chay mishum mavir. At that point, you're chay mishum mavir, sherei nase davar hasorif. Because you've made it something that could burn. So you've started to make it glow, so therefore it is mavir. So that could be very nicely fit into a light bulb. That's what a light bulb is doing, right? You're heating up the light bulb and causing it to glow. Right, and therefore, and then the glow is the light that comes out, at least the regular light bulbs, like the ones that appear in this room. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says that the argument, the Ravid says that, no, why are you saying it's, why is it not Bishul, or why is it not something else? But generally, this Rambam is what's kind of, what's accepted. So most assume that lighting a fire, that turning on a light bulb would be considered the same as lighting a fire, and therefore it sounds like we could just end it to say it ends tonight's shiur. Everything seems to be mutter, right? Candle, right? There shouldn't be any problems.
But what has making a metal glow lighting a fire?
No, sorry, not lighting. It's the same. You're causing. What do you mean? You're causing a glow to come out of through heat. By you doing this, you're causing a glow, which is the equivalent of fire.
When you light a fire, something is consumed.
So here's nothing. Well, here's something else. Something is being consumed. That's why light bulbs burn out eventually.
Yeah, but nothing.
Minimally. I agree, right. So that is the way some frame this. That's the question, right? The question is, when you light a bulb... Well, why is that any different than the Rambam's case, though? We understand the Rambam as causing it to... When the Rambam says, when the Maimonides says that you're a chai mishum mavir, when you turn on this light bulb, right? When you heat up, when you cause the metal to glow, why is that any different? I mean, why is that any different than a light bulb? I mean, we could fight.
I understand that in the light bulb, but how is that kindling a fire? How is heating up the metal kindling
right,
the fire?
Right, so the question's on the Rambam. Your question's on Maimonides. It's not the question. It's not on my extension.
Yeah.
Right. Rambam says it's an extension of it.
Correct. It's a told of it. Right. Correct. I picked up on that myself. I was not so comfortable. But most seem to assume to connect the two. That if it's a told of mavir, that's enough for the purposes of lighting fire. Now the question is still of, well, why is it? Well, it has two. A fire in a way has two properties. A, it's burning something, and B, it's causing a light. Right. So if you're only doing one of those two, if it's only which is the main property? Is the main property that it's burning something, or is the main property that it's causing a light? So the Rambam seems to be saying the main property of it is that it's causing light. Right? Just because it's not burning something up very clearly, or at any kind of pace that any of us would notice until a kid throws a baseball at it or something like that. Right? That's enough to fit into the category of mavir. Okay, so now I said on in the title that we would discuss three different applications of this in positive of the positive commandments. You know, obviously, there's many issues within negative prohibitions, but positive commandments: Shabbos candles, Havdalah, and Hanukkah candles. I thought we were talking about Hanukkah first, but then I realized Shabbos is the most simple, and then you could build up the Havdalah, and Hanukkah in a way is the most complicated. So Shabbos candles, what is the purpose? Why do we light Shabbos candles?
Light.
Because God told us to. What? Mm-hmm.
Light.
Light. Right.
We're not supposed to really use them, though.
Shabbos candles? Shabbos candles we are supposed to use. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Let's take a look at the Gemara, source number 2. Amar Rava. Rava says, Pshitali, it's obvious to me, near Beso v'near Chanukah, near Beso Adit, that a person can only afford lights in his house, or meaning Shabbos candles, or near Chanukah, or Chanukah candles, his house takes precedent. Right? Why? Mishum Shalom Beso. Because of Shalom Bayis. What's going on? What do you mean Shalom Bayis? So Rashi in source number 3 says...
I'm not sure I understand the question. He has enough money to buy one or the other?
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Right. Pre-Chazelia. Chazelia would take care of that.
Pre-tells yeshiva as well.
Okay, so if they would have standardized the Hanukkah candles to be slightly bigger, a lot more people would use candles and oil today. But they made this
small. You're probably too young to remember the orange candles.
So what is Shalom Beis? So what near Bishum Shalom Beis? So Rashi explains, V'hachi Amrinan, this is what it means to say, "Batiznach mi shalom nafshi." It's a pasuk in Eicha. It says, "I despair because my soul is lacking peace." But the Rashi continues, "Zu hadlakas ner b'Shabbos." That's referring to lighting the candles of Shabbos. "Shevenei beso mitzdarin leishav b'choshech," because people don't like sitting in dark. People will get sar. People will be mitzdair. They'll be pained by having to sit in the dark. So what is the purpose of lighting Shabbos candles? The purpose of lighting Shabbos candles would be to have light in the house. So if, why should I not? Is there any reason why me turning on the light switch in so order for me to have light in the house, in order to have the chandelier in the dining room? Why is that not good enough? Why do I have to also turn on light candles as well? So the truth is, I'm not sure what order should we do. I guess we'll do that last. The truth is, Shlomo Zalman Orbach was very troubled by that question. He said, yeah, it made a lot of sense. I mean, back in the good old days, during the time of the Gemara, so what happened? A regular night, after Marv would end, 5 o'clock, people would go home, right? And what would people do at home? They would perhaps light candles, or they would go to sleep.
Yeah, go to sleep.
Were, right?
They talk about 2 sleep times, because they would sleep. And then they'd be awake in the middle of the night, and then they'd sleep again.
Really?
Because night was so long.
Uh-huh. I never realized. I never heard that. There is in the book, The Making of a Gadol, it has this very beautiful recollection of that Rav Shach says of his hometown, that when he grew up, when he grew up, they used to have Shabbos. Shabbos started in Lithuania, so Shabbos started like 3 in the afternoon. They'd go home, they'd eat, and then they'd all go to sleep. Then they'd wake up at 2 in the morning, and he said the whole town would go to the base matters. All the men would all go to the base matters, and they'd learn from 2 in the morning until Shabbos, which was at 7 o'clock or something. And they'd learn straight through. And he said that there were these the only light in the town, besides in the base matters, the only place with heat, and the only place with light. They said the only place that had, the only street that had any light was, there was the big town square. Someone put up these big street lights, so that people could go, so that people would be able to get to the base matters in the middle of Friday night. Because before that, they used to walk through the town center and used to bang into all of the cows and all of the pigs and all of the sheep that were walking around, which was like amazing. Like, this person died 3 years ago, and he's talking about towns where the animals were running in the middle of the street. And he died 10 years ago at this point. And he also, he tells the same person that sponsored these lights in the middle of the town also sponsored a couple of scholarships to various yeshivas for people from his town. So people from his town, sometimes the not as good students in various yeshivas, because they are being covered by the scholarship service of his, I forgot the name. All right, anyways, so I don't know why I got onto that. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach asks, and we'll get to the question a little bit later. He says, "Wait, why do we even light at all? I mean, if you have the candles up in the, you have the lights up, right? That's the whole purpose. So maybe the bracha that we make on lighting candles isn't an appropriate bracha to make anymore. It doesn't really make sense to do." Okay, so what distinguishes the lighting of the candles from turning on a light switch? I mean, why would I say it might be a problem? Why would I say that turning on my dining room my dining room light would not suffice for my obligation of Shabbos candles?
Did we determine for sure that it's lighting a flame?
Yeah. So let's take that for granted. Let's assume that that's the case. I mean, some might say, well, none of this works because you're not lighting a flame. You're doing something else, right? So that is, that happens to be where Tzvi Pesach Frank held that opinion. Actually, that's a source. That made it as a source. That's source number 4. Tzvi Pesach Frank says that it's not really a fire. Rather, it's just something that appears to your eyes like something that's like a fire. And therefore, it's not really considered, therefore it doesn't really fit to the category. So Tzvi Pesach Frank is across the board in several tshuvas. The tshuvas of Tshuvas Har Tzvi is across the board, says that I don't like any of this stuff. But what would there be? Would there be another problem?
Let's see. You have to say the bracha and flip the switch?
How could you ever turn it off?
The Shabbos is over.
So it would be on the whole time.
But I'm going to set.
No, or not, or it'd be on a timer. Either way, the purpose is for me to have light Friday night.
You can't extinguish your Shabbos lit.
Well, that's because it's Shabbos.
If
you had more to stay over Shabbos, you could extinguish.
I think so. I think you would.
We had actually talked about this before, maybe in another issue, that some people they'll turn off the electric
lights. Right. This is a Monday night show, right? Okay. You've already seen that Rosh Hashanah Zalman.
So you turn off the electric light, and I guess when you make the bracha on the...
Right, right. There are those that...
You light
that,
the candles, and then turn on the lights, and then make the bracha. Is that the order?
Right, well, let's work up to that. Yes.
Oh, okay. I think I ran that Shabbos light that came out a few years ago.
With the kosher lamp?
Yeah.
It's on all the time.
Well, it's on all the time, but you... Right. In theory, you could use that as your shadow. Think about when I was in my dorm room in YU and I was obligated to light the candles. I wasn't staying at home, so I had a mitzvah.
Light them in the dorm room.
So I did Shabbos candles. So I wasn't going to light Shabbos. I wasn't going to light candles in the dorm room. I'd be thrown out. Right. So the punchline is, yes, I turned on my light, my desk light, and that was my Halakas Neiros for Shabbos. How do we turn it off? You turn it off after Shabbos is over. Hmm?
I figured, you know, you would all light candles in the bathroom.
So we don't. No, that we don't. That's for another reason. That's a different Chanukah shir, another time.
Like, I did have menorahs downstairs.
That's for Chanukah candles we lit downstairs. Yeah, I got a story for that also. Another time. So Tzvi Pesach Frank, in a different shiva, while saying why he doesn't like these things, is that he says both for Halakas Ner and Shabbos, and in fact the Rambam sounds like this, the Rambam says that you have an obligation to light Shabbos candles. That's what the Rambam says. It's not just like, he says, it's not just like an Erev Tchum. It's not just like making an Erev where you have a choice. Meaning you can make a bracha if you put it up, but if you don't put it up, you don't need to have an Erev. I mean, you just won't carry, you won't walk that far, whatever. But he says, this is an actual mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, it's a fulfillment of your mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. That's what he says. So there's actually a positive commandment to do something. So Tzvi Pesach Frank in source number 5 says that even though maybe I'll grant you that turning on a light bulb is considered like turning on a fire, but who says that you're turning it on? Who says that that's cool? Just flipping a switch is called turning it on. Says the Rav Pesach Frank. Perhaps that's not a direct turning on. That's what we call a grumma. A grumma is an indirect action. Because what is my indirect action? I'm flipping a switch that's doing something over here, which causes something to happen over there. So maybe I don't fulfill my positive commandment of turning on a fire.
You're flipping an electrical switch that was closed, and now you're turning it on so the current runs to the light. How is that?
Right, so he is suggesting that maybe that is only a grumma,
maybe the electrons that are there aren't going to end up over here, but
what?
Well, what if you?
No, they are.
Yeah. So
right, but I'm doing something here.
That was a pretty direct relationship to me.
No. But I'm doing something here that will cause something to happen over there.
Imagine if the liquid company shuts down, then you don't get anything from the switch. So you're not really controlling.
Well, that's
well, imagine it doesn't light.
Yeah, but
that's
your controlling
circuit. Without getting electrocuted, that would do.
Well, no, not necessarily, because you're completing a circuit which is then causing the light to turn on. So Lisa's saying, come on, give me a break. It's happening so fast, happening so quickly. But if we could slow everything down, if you could slow everything down to very, very slow, right, then you could start, you could consider such a thing. And even if it's not necessarily time related, right, the action you're doing now is not necessarily, right, it's not, yes, it's directly causing it, but it's not the same as taking a match and actually lighting the flame. That's his suggestion. Now yes?
You haven't actually shown us a source earlier, I guess you mentioned it, that says you have to, the sources you gave us so far say you have to have light so you're not depressed or something.
Okay.
Light works fine. So now you're saying there's more to it than that. You actually have to light.
Yes, it's very nice you'll have light in the area, but you're not fulfilling your mitzvah of lighting. There's actual mitzvah to light.
There's a mitzvah to light, even if you already have light and so on.
Right. That's his suggestion. Okay. Now, the third possibility is that when you light your Shabbos candles, you have to light them that they will last long enough that you'll actually be able to use them once it becomes dark. Right? You actually feel they can't. So some have suggested, or Shlomo Zalman pointed this out, and this is more important when it comes to Hanukkah candles, that when you plug something into the wall, that isn't necessarily an ongoing energy source. I mean, the energy is, when you plug into the wall, the energy is not all there. The energy has to continue to come from outside the house.
This is true.
That is true. Okay. So Shlomo Zalman says, so while using a battery might be okay, because you have it all there, meaning instead of having oil as your fuel, you're having a battery as your fuel, to plug it into the wall as something that's using energy from the ground, or from the electric company, perhaps that might not be considered that you have it all there when you're ready to light. However, regardless of all these three suggestions, most are of the opinion that it's okay. That notwithstanding this opposition, most assume that it's okay. There's a Magen Avraham that says that if it already became Shabbos, you're actually allowed to ask a non-Jew to light the Shabbos candles for you and make a bracha on that. Right, which some use as a proof against this idea that there's no actual mitzvah to the light switch thing. So with these three ideas are all raised. Most say it's okay. In fact, if you look at the compendiums, on the fireplace there's a book, The Radiance of Shabbos. I think. If we look at the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilcha, so he writes, he has a whole, actually it's on the back, it's a copy of it, it's on the back of the page, the top source on the back of the page, Neftel Kuha Poskim, Yimeshra Levar Chalok, Kisneva Shabbos Mokom, there it is, okay, so nechlaku haposkim is saying that the poskim argue efshel varachal lukas neiv shavs mukom moar shekfar daluk o or echad. Some raise the question. There's nothing there.
It's around here.
Okay, it's all right.
Look in both fireplaces. It might be on that shelf over there.
Let me see the book, Radiance of Shabbos, a red book. It's all right. If you don't have it, it's okay. I really thought it was in there.
I thought I'd see it.
Yeah, it's lying around for a while. Okay. So the poskim argue if you could light a fire where you already have stuff lit. I mean, I say Baruch Hashem Asher Kishon Shabbos Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. So if I'm lighting the Chanukah, the Shabbos candles, and there's already fire around it, so what am I accomplishing by lighting the Shabbos candles? I already have the candles around. I already have it. It's already lit up in the house. I mean, the dining room is lit up. So should I go ahead then and light the Shabbos candles? I'm not accomplishing anything. V'lachein, therefore he says, Tov Levarach Es Berachas Adlak Es Beofen Sheyatsi De Kol Adeus. It would be preferable to make the bracha it's a Berachas Adlakas in a way that you'll be Yotzei all of the opinions. Umin haroi, and therefore it's fitting. Efu she'isha tadlik es neiros hashabbos v'tivarich, when the woman lights the candles in her house and makes the bracha. V'rak achar kach yadlik echa mivnei habayis es menoros hachashmal. And only after that should people then go around turning on the electric, the lights in the house.
How are you going to do that?
One second. Oshi chavines she'ona Shabbos, or you should set the Shabbos clock. Shebeem tzeuso yadlik ora chashmal acher mikan, so that you will light the electric light. So the electron will turn on after that. This is probably the most appropriate and probably the easiest to do. That a woman will light the electric lights, l'chavut Shabbos, lifnei hadlakas neiros, before she lights the candles, gamal orze, and she'll have kavana with her bracha on this fire as well. And this is what I meant to look up in the Radiance of Shabbos, was I think he quotes that this was the view of Rav Moshe Feinstein. That is what he told Rebbetzin. This is what Rebbetzin Feinstein did, supposedly. that what they what the, this last recommendation is actually pretty simple to do. So what we do is we turn off all the lights, and then we turn on the electric lights and light the Shabbos candles at once, and then you make the bracha, having in mind with the bracha that the electric lights as well. That is and it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. You are
We hit the electric lights and then go light the candles. All the guys are at shul already.
So they're
not going to put the lights on there.
You hope, right.
Light, so.
Right. And we're not about to recommend, although it's unclear why not, to make a bracha and then do the Shabbos candles, right? Because we don't do that. For whatever reason,
We don't light the Shabbos candles and then we'll put on the electric lights either. You can't do that.
Right. We don't, that's not our, it's not our practice. It's unclear why, but that's what we don't. Fine.
What you're saying is it could be, it's kind of like, you do the electric light and then you're kind of lumping it all together into one bracha.
Right. Okay. Right. And that way also your dining room lights is also your Shabbos lights.
Right.
And
we're just talking the dining room lights. We're not talking run around the whole house.
Right. I don't think you have to run around the whole house. But the main purpose of lighting the Shabbos candles is for the meal. I mean, where do you light your Shabbos candles? Where you eat.
Right.
So just doing it in your room, right, would be okay. If we look in the footnote to the left, it's a pretty decent sized footnote that's on that section. But that's where he raises the question, right? It's the underlined parts. Kishish kvar or chazak ubahir harileka klal shum simcha yaseir mizeh. Deyukin eich efshar levarich al zeh. There's no simcha by turning on the candles on the side. How could you go ahead and make a bracha on it? Right. He's talking about, so we solved that problem, right? We solved the problem by turning off the fire, by turning off the lights, right? This came up in our Hilchos Yontif shir, because we also, on Erev Shabbos, when it's Yontif, right, when Yontif falls out on Friday, so we're actually going ahead and lighting candles on Yontif. For what? The lights are on the room. What benefit are we getting from it?
Right.
So it's an even a bigger question there. It's not just a bracha question. It's now a malachas yontif question, right? How am I allowed to light a candle on yontif when the whole house is lit up already? So he answers, but ulai, so he defends the custody, he defends the mitzvah. Ulai biglal shechazal kavu es hashemen, because once chazal established to do it with oil, that becomes the hiddur mitzvah. That becomes the way to do it. The gam yadua v'nikr shezel l'chavot Shabbos. It becomes clear that this is l'chavot Shabbos, meaning every night I eat in my dining room and the lights on. Tonight I eat in my dining room and the candle lights are on as well. So you're certainly adding for the kavod Shabbos. There is a chashiv kanav gam simcha. And then he goes on and says, oh, and the fact that the women are so makbid on it, that tells us something. It tells us that it's something very important. He compares it to lighting Hanukkah candles in the shul, which is a little bit questionable why we should do that. Why do we light Hanukkah candles in the shul? But no, we've been doing it for so long, there's good reason for it. And he concludes, yeah. Right, and they said that solves the problem for Yontif as well. When Yontif falls out in Erev Shabbos, it solves the problem, right? Even though the house is all lit up, we're still gaining extra simcha, we're gaining extra happiness from the fact that the candles are there. Okay, so Adkan, so that's the issue with Halakas Neiros. So I most poskim assume that you could do it. I would recommend, though, that we still, when possible, when you're not in the dorm room, that we keep the minhag alive of lighting candles. I mean, so for somebody to say, okay, well, from now on, I'm just turning the light on in my dining room, and that's going to be my Halakha. Yeah, I'd like to be Halakas Neiros always. So that we don't recommend, even if you have, what do we have?
One, two,
three, four, five. This is an eight thing candelabra, right? So even if you have six kids and this is your candelabra, right? I would still recommend that we do candles on the side and not just rely on electric lights.
You're in the hospital.
However, in the hospital or the dorm room or in the hotel rooms or those kinds of things, so that's make a luckus there. We actually would make a bracha on it. And most even assume that fluorescent lights would be okay as well. I mean, even for these purposes, for Hadlokas Neiros on Shabbos, even fluorescent lights would be all right. And just, this is not the topic of tonight, but if you're like in a hotel, like this, they don't really do them so much, but these weekend bar mitzvahs, mm-hmm. or like those, when if you're at some kind of weekend thing where the meals are going to be in a cafeteria or in a dining hall, and you're staying in a hotel room, the preferable thing to do really is to light in your hotel room. Preferable thing to do is to light in your hotel room and to use the bathroom light or whatever light you're going to have on in your room at that time. Okay, so that's the Hadlokas Neiros time. So we're going from most usable to least usable. The next category is the Havdalah candle. So is there any reason why the Havdalah candle should be more machmir than the Shabbos candles?
So
multiple wicks is D. Okay, we'll conclude the multiple. We could raise that now. Multiple wicks is not such a big issue. That was my question also. So what about the multiple wicks? So if you take a look at source 7, skip 6, but let's go to source 7. It says mitzvah min hamufchar levarech al havuka. The best way of doing the mitzvah is to use a torch, which is the two. It's used in avuka. V'yesh misha omer sam seishim ein lo avuka tzarech lahadik nerechad. If you don't have a torch, you could use one candle for avdala chutz mehanar hamiyuchad lahar bebayis. With that's not the thing that's usually setting up light in the house. Okay, but what is an avuka? So the Rama explains v'ner shi'esh lo shtei psulos mikre avuka. That a candle that has two wicks, that's what we call a torch. Right, but what did Shulchan Aruch say? Mitzvah min hamufchar. The best way of doing the mitzvah is to do this thing with the two wicks. But if you can't do the best way, so one candle suffices, one wick suffices. Okay, so maybe it's not. So already it's not the lechatchila. Already it's not the best way of doing it. We're going to see though that there are many people that did it anyways on purpose. Let's see why. So what are some of the? Is there any reason why it would be different? So why is it that we require an avuka? What's the purpose of this torch? Why is there a different din? Why do we light a Havdalah candle at all?
I was going to say the blessing is on fire, which
right?
Is a little different than when you light Shabbos candles. You're not mentioning fire,
right? There is the bracha is on fire. That is correct. The bracha is on fire. But why is it that we're why are we making the bracha on fire?
Because you couldn't do it.
Right. So one reason is because we weren't using. Remember, we're demonstrating that now we're using it as opposed to before when we could use it.
And the multiple wicks, maybe because you're going to work to it.
Yeah, should I have to look it up? I don't remember. I would recommend having another apple or something. Why do we establish a mitzvah of lighting a Havdalah candle? Why? Right?
Show that you can start creating again?
Okay. I mean, why? That's kind of what we said, to demonstrate that now we can do malacha as opposed to before we couldn't. But there's a little bit more. The Gemara tells us that right after Shabbos was over, Adam sat down and got to work, and Adam came up with the first invention of human creativity, which was the ability to make fire. Right, so Adam came up with the idea of creating fire. That was the first human invention, the first human improvement to the world was done Motzei Shabbos. That was his Motzei Shabbos activity. So that, so there is different big sense. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, so if that's the case, we should try to make this somewhat like Adam Arishon's fire. So it could very well be that a light bulb, even though it might be a din of mavir, it might not be the same as Adam Arishon's fire. Meaning, even though we might assume that all you need to do to be light to have mavir is to have light without combustion, Adam's fire had combustion as well. So we should have that. So that's
matches.
That is one complaint. The second complaint is that some raise is that there is a Yerushalmi that writes, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that you can't look at the Havdalah candle through glass. The Havdalah candle is covered, you can't use it through glass. So let's just take a look at what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Ner b'toch cheiko b'toch kenas, which is klishe nosin bo ner shelo tichbe. That some things where they put the fire so that it not get erased, so that it not get extinguished. O b'toch aspaklaria. Aspaklaria is some kind of lens. Roes hashal haves ve'enu mishtamish l'orif. You could see the fire, but it's not exuding light, meaning you're not actually getting light from it. Or you could use the light, but you don't actually see the flame. I mean, you have to both see the flame, and it has to actually be giving you light. You can't make a bracha on it until you both see the fire and can use the flame. So the problem is, what everyone here ever heard the term aspaklaria?
Yeah. It's a lens or something.
Right, some kind of, it's like a fractured lens. Right, that we describe the Neviim sometimes, it's a Kabbalistic term, that we see Hashem through the aspaklaria. He got through this lens, so it's kind of like a prism, it's kind of like off, it's not exactly what we see. The question is, how off is it describing it here? Right, so some suggest, first of all, not everybody agrees that we pass them like that we pass them this way. The Mishnah Berurah himself quotes several opinions that we don't necessarily pass them this way. But even if we pass them this way, says Rishon Zalman, that's talking about when you can't actually see the fire. I mean, when the light bulb makes it in a way that the flame is not visible, like some other light bulbs in here. However, a frosted light bulb. But these light bulbs, you can see right through the glass. The glass isn't an aspaklaria. The glass isn't a lens. The glass isn't altering anything. The glass is just, you can see right through. So in that case, then maybe it's much better. So what do we assume on this? So if we take a look at the back of the page again. So the back of the page, this is taken from Sefer Shiurim Mitzuyanim Behalacha. Which is he actually went through the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and wrote down many later sources on things that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, and here he has of inyan levarach al or electri on lighting and using making a bracha on the fire that is electric. Shemati bialdusai mizikne tamad chacham b'shem admarenu agona hakadosh bal darkei tshuva. Shaya Omer Heter Lizet. The Darki Tshuva matter this. That was the Darki Tshuva was the Munkacher Rebbe, who was a big who came up with a very important sefer called the Darki Tshuva, which is a compendium of later authorities on Shulchan Aruch. Very big stuff. Kira Isi Eitzel Beno. I also saw it by his son. His son is also an important person. Baal Minchas Elazar. He said, I saw it, Kain Ra'isi. I saw that I was in the Minchas Elazar's base medrash, that it was filled with people. That he would make a bracha on the fire that was on the table, but they wouldn't turn off the electric lights. Everybody could get enough from those avukas. I mean, the one guy will make the bracha on the fire, but everybody else has to be Yotze. So as everybody else Yotze, they're Yotze by using the electric lights that's on top. B'chein kasev b'shayel s'tshuvos mech Avram, I don't know who that is. And he established himself based on the base Yitzchak. The ner electric mikrei ner, the ner electric neros count. B'chein b'shayel s'tshuvos nachlas Shimon. They quoted in the name of Rav Chaim Mibrisk, Rav Chaim Salavechik as well. And the sefer mi'orei ha'esh of Rav Gon Rav Shlomo Zalman. So we're going to quote from the Meori shortly. Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote this kuntras on the uses of electric light bulbs, halachic uses of electric light bulbs, and I feel like a real lazy person. He wrote it at the age of 25. So too we see from the work of Rav Shlomo Zalman, Hala Gamkin Leheter Ach Michalik Sham Bein Elu Shenir and Hashal Heves Mitocha, and this is that distinction we just talked about. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman makes the distinction between those that when you can actually see the flame inside, or between those where the glass is thick and you can't actually see the flame. And so too, this distinction was told to me by Rav Eliezer Silver, Have I heard of Rabbi Eliezer Silver? He was the Rav in our next city over in
Harrisburg.
Yes, he was a Rav in Harrisburg before becoming the Rav in Cincinnati. So a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, Rabbi Akiva Mills, is the rabbi there now. So he's in Rabbi Silver's shul. So B'shem Hagon Rav Chaim Ozer Mivilna, he said in the name of Chaim Ozer of Silver, who was really he basically started the Aguda in America. He was he built the large part of the history of American Jewry. So he said, I saw Rav Chaim Ozer. His Rebbe was Rav Chaim Ozer Mivilna, Rav Chaim Ozer Brzezinski, who also used to do this as well. Fine. So he discussed a little bit more. But there's a long list of people that did this, that would actually, lechatchila, use these Havdalah candles. However, isn't that clearly against what we quoted before, that you need the avuka, that you need the torch? Right?
Is there one person... Describe the scene in the yeshiva. There's always one person with the torch.
No. That was the one story. That was in the Munkacha based Medrash. One person used the torch, and everybody else used the candles.
But
Rav Chaim Ozer, it's pretty famous. Rav Chaim Ozer and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik used light bulbs for Abdullah. So I doesn't
no
see.
What?
There was no. It seems like they had no Havdalah candle. They would turn on the light, and that's what they would use for Havdalah.
But you said that a source that talked about the torch was to do it better.
Right. Okay, but wouldn't Rav Chaim Ozer want to do it in the best possible way? Would Rav Chaim Soloveitchik want to do it in the best possible way?
Technology, so it would be the best possible way at that time.
Well,
what
about us? okay, so at least it's on the right track. I think the way that they did it... The reason they did it that way, even though they probably would admit that they weren't doing it avuka, they would admit that they weren't doing it the best possible way. But why would they specifically do it that way? Because it was a new technology, and people were scratching their heads and stroking their beards trying to figure out, is this usher on Shabbos? So in order to show that this is usher on Shabbos, we're going to dafka use it for Havdalah to demonstrate that you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So that was the some of the history. So nowadays, I'm not sure. I remember when I was in a certain city on Torah tours. I was a Torah tourist in the city, and it was, I think, Simchas Torah came out on Sunday. So it was Shabbos Sunday, Shmi Atzeres, right? And they're having this big deal. They're doing Havdalah and Shul and or whatever, and nobody had put any planning into how are we going to have a I took in the middle of Havdalah, the rabbi. So he gets everybody together for Havdalah. This is a pretty big shul and not a very from group. So no one's going to go home and make Havdalah afterwards. So he's like about to start, and he's like, wait a second, how am I going to use the candle? So I pointed up. I said, you have a light bulb right on top of you. Can you use anything? Really, you could use it? I said, yeah, Rav Chaim Ozer can use it. He said, okay, Rav Chaim Ozer is good enough for me. And now I see. It was reminiscent of the Munkach based Medrash that everybody... Right. So it is mutter. I would point out that it's not the best thing to do. So I'll buy Hadlakas Neros... it's fine. Like, Lucas Nero's, it's better to use candles, but I wouldn't drive myself crazy trying to get candles. By Nero's, by the Havdalah candle, though, it probably makes sense to hold out a little bit in order to get a candle. Meaning, if right now I want to make Havdalah because I want to have the leftover jelly ring from Shabbos, right, maybe hold off a little bit and actually go use a Havdalah candle, and plus you'll fulfill mitzvah min hamavcha. And then finally, so Hanukkah candles. As our last Hanukkah candles extinguished for this year, could we really have our Hanukkah candles going all night?
One other question. Yeah. So it's not mitzvah mera muvchar, but on where Yom Tov is on Saturday night, rather than, would it make more sense to just use the electric light, or she'd take the Shabbos candles and put them together, but if we use oil, and so that would be hard to...
Good question. I'll have to worry about that. I don't know what's the next. That's a good question. Okay. And then finally, because there are even without the oil, there is a question of putting those candles together. It's not such a.
Whether you can separate them again or
not? Actually, no. Whether you could put them together, right, just off my memory, that I think there's a question that you're causing. you're causing the wax to extinguish faster. So why are you causing the wax to extinguish faster? So if you're causing, you're causing something to happen. You're doing mavir, basically. You're making a larger fire. So why are you making a larger fire? So if I'm making a larger fire in order to cook, right? So that's fine. I'm making a larger fire in order to cook. But here I'm making a larger fire for what? If I would be making a larger fire in order to see, that also might be doable. Maybe. There's what to talk about. But here, I'm just making a larger fire in order to make a bracha. So is that really a sufficient reason for me to do that? So that's questionable.
But surely you've experienced a yontif and Seder.
Yeah. I think I put it together. I put it together. But it's a concern, especially after learning Hilchos Yontif all year.
Okay. Could you make Hadala over the flame that's still on the stove? A burner?
That's not a navuka. Right, it's not a. It's no better. Right, it's no better than maybe using one candle, probably.
Maybe worse.
Better than a light bulb.
Would it be better than a light bulb?
More like a flame.
More torch light.
Maybe. I don't know. It depends on.
What comes from outside.
I don't know. It's good.
Not sure.
When was the last time? We're going to have one. I don't know we're having one. Next year's also Thursday, Friday. Okay, we'll figure it out by then. So finally, the issues with Hanukkah. While the first two cases, most poskim assume that ultimately you can use them. By the way, Havdalah candles, you can't use a fluorescent light. That's for sure not. That's for sure not a fire.
Why not?
Because that's not a fire. Because
you just excited.
It's the gas. It's the gas that's getting excited. I'm not sure how it works.
Okay.
Right. It's not, that for sure is not considered a nation.
The
pigtail ones.
They're fluorescent.
Those are also fluorescent, right? Right. We gotta.
These are fine.
These are filaments, so they're fine.
Right.
Two of those toasts.
Okay. And then finally, by Hanukkah candles, there's a few other requirements that Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about in this kuntres that he wrote up, in this little sefer that he wrote up, titled Me'orei Ha'esh. If you just go to the back and just notice those two, most poskim assume that we can't do the chanukahs with the flame. So Rav Shlomo Zalman points out two things. Number one is the mi'achar shekasev b'shem Maharal miPrag. The mi'achar shanis hayal yidei shemen tzarich lekayim gam kena mitzvah yidei neros. That just as the mitzvah was done with shemen, the nase was done with oil, was done with candles, so the mitzvah should be done with candles as well. Aval b'neiros shel shava o, I'm not sure what that is.
Chelev.
Also, propane, yeah?
No, fat.
No, I understand, but what?
Hello, candle.
But why? That's so different than oil? Okay. Lo mikre ner rak avuka pasul ner was Chanukah. He says these things, he's saying it actually is considered an avuka, meaning we said before it's questionable whether a filament is considered an avuka. He's saying it is an avuka. He's saying it is a flame. Maybe because it has, there's a lot of light coming out of it. He considers it like a torch. So for that reason, he said it's not similar to the way the miracle is done in the Beis HaMikdash. How exactly is it not similar? You take a look at the banks where they have the menorahs up, or the insurance office across the street where they have the menorah up, right? It looks like a menorah. They say it's not similar. That's not the same. I mean, even though we did the base measure was with oil, and we could maybe we'll allow you to make it with wax. Fine, that's close enough. But electric, that's too far, right? There is no other hand. That's beyond. That's one reason why he says it's no good. The second reason why he says it's no good is the same thing we talked about before. That while by Shabbos he in a way made up. Rav Shlomo Zalman came up with this chumrah that you have to have all of the oil present. He didn't make it up. It is based on something significant, but his formulation of it was a way of chiddush. By Chanukah, it's clear. By Chanukah, the mitzvah is that when you light the candles, it has to be able to last a half an hour. You have to have enough oil there for it to last half an hour. And if you're plugging into the wall, it's unclear whether one would claim that all the electricity is really there. Electricity is not really there. You can make a case it is. You can make a case that he owns all the electricity going all the way back to the... It's unclear how to quantify it, but that's the claim that he makes. He says, "Omnam nira kevin to be inan sheyitin shemen b'ner kadei shir chatzi shah." Right, because the obligation is to have the amount of oil for half an hour. Yishli stapik ishari lemalei shofera shel Beitza, shemen velitin osa,
eggshell.
An eggshell of shemen. Right, this is an example. Right, whether you could fill up oil in an eggshell, velitin osa mipi haner, bishvil shetehei minatefes, that it will drip into the ner. I mean, to set up a system where the oil is going to slowly drip into the candle, he's saying that might not be appropriate, because it's not all there. Mibinin shehei kol shir hashemen betoch haner asmo ilo. Do we require all of the shemen to be in there or no? And then he goes on to say that having it plugged into the wall is not considered as if the shemen is really all present yet. So by Hanukkah, while by Shabbos we said, you know, pretty much go ahead, you know, you could use the electric candles in your homes, you know, under ideal circumstances you should use candles, but really electric lights should be okay. By Abdullah we said, when you have nothing else, you could use the electric candles, or you know, don't, in theory, could be yotze, and you could even make a bracha on the electric light bulbs. By Hanukkah, I don't think anybody, we generally assume, if you're in some crazy situation where the only possibility you have is to use a light. So some people have brought up the idea of, I've heard this, it's a little weird, that if you're on an airplane, you're taking it over, you know, you could fly to Israel all year, but I decided to fly to Israel on Hanukkah. Right?
Yeah, so my kids are flying home.
They're flying home.
But they're
tonight.
They're leaving tonight. They're probably light before they go.
They're probably lit and then leave, right? But going to Israel is a problem, right? So how do you, could you be Yotze? Is there a way to be Yotze Hanukkah candles that way? So whatever, we think that you have someone going to your house. There's a whole way to do it that way. But some say, why don't you sit at your in your seat and turn on your flashlight, and there you have your one candle, your one Hanukkah candle sitting there. You know, plus in theory you could be Yotze with one candle.
Your battery lasts half an hour.
And as long as your battery's ready to last half an hour, you should be all right. You know, I don't know, it's one of those things. Can't hurt.
If you're in the hospital, the only thing you can do is an electric menorah, then.
So I would light without a bracha. Light without a bracha.
Yeah, right? That's whether you're in the hotel.
Right. We lit menorahs on board ship. So you would do it with candles.
So you would do without a bracha.
I would make a bracha for Abdullah and Friday night, but I would not make a bracha on candle lighting on Hanukkah that's done with the electric light.
Is there anything that says it's a rabban, right? And the other ones are
prices, right? Both of them are Onik Shabbos in theories de Oraisa. Mm-hmm. Lighting a candle for Onik Shabbos is hard. Actually, I gave a shiur on this on I think on Shemini Atzeres or something. One of the Yom Tov shiurim around that topic of the idea that's. It's Kiddush D'Oraisa. So Kiddush is a fulfillment of the Din D'Oraisa of Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshah. Right? But is the Torah never says, take a cup of wine and make Kiddush on it. Right? The Torah never said, light candles. The Torah said, have Oneg Shabbos. And so, right? And so to remember Shabbos as it leaves, that just as you have to make Kiddush, you also have to make Avdallah. Right? It's the same thing. It didn't define how to make Avdallah. But it's... even that, the near part of the ish part of Abdullah is probably a separate thing anyway. You know. Okay. All right, Yeshiko, thank you for coming. Chag Sameach.